Our scripture for today comes to us from the book of Psalm. Let's read it together. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the word. A few years ago, I ran across a song. I don't even know how I ran across it. Somehow I found it online. I thought that the name of the song was somewhat interesting. And it was called God Never Says Oops. I looked it up, and it's a songwriter from Australia. And it's really a kid's song, but I thought it was sort of cute, and I thought the message was more than cute. Folks, if we could just play a little bit of that, can we do that? Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
God never says oops, never slips up, never makes any mistakes, no. God never says oops, 'cause he's got a perfect plan. Can he do it? Yes, he can. His promises are true. He'll always follow through. He's our creator king. He doesn't miss a thing. And that's why I'm telling you, God never says oops, never slips up, never makes any mistakes, no. God never says oops, 'cause he's got a perfect plan. Or can he do it? Yes, he can. He's shepherd of the sheep. He'll never fall asleep. Remember, little lamb, he's God and not a man. I'm telling you all right now, yeah. God never says oops, never slips up, never makes any mistakes, no. God never says oops, 'cause he's got a perfect plan. Oh, can he do it? Yes, he can.
All righty. Pretty catchy, isn't it? God never says oops, he never slips up, he never makes any mistake. No. And that's what David said. You formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows well. In other words, I am not a mistake, because God never says oops, he never slips up, and he never makes a mistake. Now, why does that need to be said? It needs to be said because if we give the adversary any room whatsoever, if we give him even an inch, he will do all that he can to belittle us and try to get us to devalue who we are, fill our heart with regret and remorse and shame. He wants to do everything that he can to convince us that we are mistakes. That God said when he made you, oops, I got that one wrong. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Who would you consider to be the greatest artist in history? Somebody may say Van Gogh if they like that style of art. Others may say Da Vinci or Rembrandt or Monet or Michelangelo. I've been to Rome, I've been to Paris, I've seen their works, and it's something. It is absolutely amazing. But let me assure you, dear one, you could take all five of them, you could mold them into one incredible creature, and then you could multiply that creature times billions, and you would still never produce an artist that compares to God. Because God is the greatest artist of all. Now, my grandson, Perry, is the artist in our family. Not sure where he got the gene from. At the age of 5, he's able to take some simple things, a piece of paper and some crayons, and he's able to make these masterpieces. It amazes me. We put him in baseball. He didn't like it. We put him in an art class, and I can't get him to leave. He loves it. He's just artistic. He did not get that from his grandfather, let me assure you. I can't even draw a stick man. I'm terrible. So when I'm around an artist, I am somewhat dumbfounded, amazed. Especially when I'm around a potter. Have you ever been around a potter? I find that absolutely amazing. A potter can take something as simplistic and formless and worthless as a lump of clay and then work with it in his hands and shape it into something that is precious and beautiful. I find that amazing. And I am convinced that the difference between a potter like that and someone like me is that long before he begins the process, he sees in his mind's eye what that is going to become. And I am also convinced that the master potter, God, saw each of us in his mind's eye before we were ever created. He envisioned what the end result would be. Now, some of us are okay with that. Some of us are not. Matter of fact, studies say that most of us are not 100% comfortable in our own skin. That most of us would like to change something if we could. Tall women want to be shorter. Shorter men want to be taller. Blue-eyed people want to have brown eyes. Brown-eyed people want to have blue eyes. So forth and so on. And as we know, Hollywood breeds contempt and tries to get us to be dissatisfied with ourselves and puts out these glossy pictures that are not realistic, they're airbrushed, and says that's the way that you need to look. And if you don't look that way, there's something wrong with you, so you need a nip and you need a tuck and you need a tweak here and a tweak there. And then, and only then, can you be happy with the person that God created. But the psalmist tells a different story. The Bible tells a different story. And David reminds us of three truths that I want you to be reminded of as well. And here they are. Look above. The person who created us is wonderful. The pattern by which we were created is wonderful. And the purpose for which we were created is wonderful. So let's talk about the person, the pattern, and the purpose. Again, David said, "You formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." Is that important? Absolutely. Because the foundation of true self-worth is based upon an understanding that God never says oops, he never slips up, he never makes a mistake, and he created me. And he created me. It's based upon the fact that we believe that Genesis 1:27 is true. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, it doesn't say binary, male and female, he created them. God created man, he created him, he created them. And the fact that you and I were created by God makes all the difference in the world. God formed us. He formed those inward parts. Each a miracle of divine engineering. And then he knits all of that together in our mother's womb. And the beauty and the complexity and the order of the human body, it's more than scientists have never been able to figure it out. Just as God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are comprised of a three-part nature, body, soul, and spirit. Like God, we have a moral nature. We have an intellect. We have an emotional nature. We have the power to communicate with others. It makes us different than the rest of creation. Now, somebody may say, well, what about that passage in Genesis 5:3? It says that Adam begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Is that a contradiction? No, not in the least. Not at all. Here's what happened. See, between the creation of Adam and the creation of Seth, what happened? It's called the fall of man. Man was marred by sin. He was not destroyed, but he was disfigured. The Bible clearly says that we were created in the image of God repeatedly. Genesis 1:27, Genesis 9:6, 1 Corinthians 15:49, James chapter 3, verse 9, so forth and so on. However, it makes it clear that we were also born in the image of man due to sin. That is not a contradiction. The image of God makes us human. Without it, we cease being. I said, the image of God makes us human. Without it, we cease being. The image of God makes us redeemable and worth redeeming, but the image of God creates the necessity for redemption. There is no contradiction whatsoever. David said, you covered me in my mother's womb. That means you wove me together in my mother's womb. Again, God is the artist, and you are the tapestry. We are the tapestry. In our mother's womb, he weaves together every muscle and tendon and artery and vein. While we were but embryos in our mother's womb, God was weaving us together, and he was creating a masterpiece. Listen, you were not some kind of biological accident. You are not the great-great-grandchild of an ape. You are not a creature of mere chance. The after effect of some rocks banging together in eternity past. That is so absurd. And we have intellectual people who are trying to tell us that, so-called intellectuals. Let me tell you why we are here. Let me tell you why we are here. We are here because God made us. We are here because God made us, each of us individually and personally. And from the moment of our conception, God himself was in charge of our development while we were in our mother's womb. And that fact alone is the thing that establishes our worth and our personhood. Now consider it this way. Think about it this way. Let's say that if I was rich, like Rick right here on the front row, if I was rich and I had a $100 bill, I usually don't have a $100 bill. But if I had a $100 bill and I would say, anybody who wants this $100 bill, come on up and I'll give it to you. Every single one of you would come up, because who doesn't want a $100 bill with no strings attached, right? However, let's say I took that $100 bill and I crumpled it up a little bit in my hand. Greg, you'd still come up and want that $100 bill, right? All of us would. So what? It's crumpled up a little bit. Let's say I dropped it on the floor and accidentally stepped on it and it got a little dirty. Would you still want that $100 bill? Absolutely. If you're smart, you would. Why? Because it's still worth $100. But what makes it worth $100? Is it the paper it's printed on? Is it the ink on the paper? Is it the fact that there's a good picture of old Ben Franklin on it? No. What makes it worth $100? Notice, what makes it worth $100, even when it's dirty, even when it's crumpled up, even when it's stepped on, is the authority and the power that stands behind it. And my point is this. Our worth is not the result of something that we have done or haven't done. Our worth is the result of the authority and the power and the glory of the person who created us in his image. That means that even when our lives are crumpled up at times, even when we get a little dirty, even when we are stepped on, we are no less valuable as a person. Why? It's because our self-worth is not based on something we have done. It's based on the fact that we have a Creator who loves us, who says we are valuable, and sealed us with His image from the day of redemption. That is why C.S. Lewis said it well. Quote, "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life to ours is but the life of a gnat. It is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit." End of quote. No one in this room is ordinary. No one in this room is ordinary. The thing that keeps us from being ordinary is the fact that our Creator is God. The thing that keeps us from being ordinary is the fact that our Creator, as Job said, is the one who laid the foundations of the earth and caused the morning stars to sing together. Our God is wonderful. And He is beyond description. You may remember that story in Judges 13. The Lord comes to Manoah. Manoah will be the father of Samson. And the Lord tells him about the uniqueness of this child. Manoah says, "What is your name that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" And God says in response, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? In other words, Manoah, if I told you, you would never be able to understand it. If I told you, you would never be able to get it, because my name is the composite of all that I am, and it is filled with such wonder, your mind would never be able to comprehend it. It's like that beautiful song that says, "He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul longs for, everything He's promised and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful." That's what Jesus is to me. David concurs. Loved one, the person who created us is wonderful. The pattern by which we were created is wonderful as well. David goes on to say, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows well." Fearfully means unique and distinct. We are completely distinguished from all other created beings and made very unique in God's creation, because God not only created us, but He gave us authority and He gave us dominion over all of this. Wonderfully refers to the marvel of the human body. Again, something that is so amazing that scientists and doctors still can't figure it out. They have to guess at most things. I was reading this the other day. It boggles my mind. This person said that the body that God gave us begins with cells that come in thousands of shapes and sizes. The human body has over 100 trillion, that's with a T, of them, of these cells. They are so tiny that 10,000 of them could fit on the head of a needle. These cells undergo 500 quadrillion chemical reactions every second as they carry out the dance of life and protect us. What about the skin that we have? Water can penetrate it outwardly to keep us cool, but not inwardly, or all of us would have blown up and exploded when we took a shower this morning. What about our bones? Our bones are capable of carrying a load 30 times the amount that brick can support. What about the brain that God gave us? It has 10 billion, that's with a B, nerve cells that records everything we see and hear and feel, and it serves as our body's central control. And then there's the blood. Between 10 to 12 pints of it distributes oxygen and carries away waste from the tissues and organs as it regulates the body's temperature. And then there's the heart. Even though it weighs less than a pound, think about this. It has the power to pump 100,000 times a day, circulating 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of arteries, capillaries, and veins. And do you know what I find the most amazing thing about all of that? Is that all of that happens without a thought. There is not a single one of you here this morning that is saying, heart pump, heart pump, heart pump, heart pump. There's not one of you that is saying, lungs, breathe, lungs, breathe, lungs, breathe. We don't have to do that. Imagine if we had to tell our heart to pump. Imagine if we had to tell our lungs to breathe. That is all that we would do in life. But it's automatic. We do it without thinking. We even do it in our sleep. Folks, we are pretty amazing because that's the way that God made us. Yet, so-called brilliant people, people who fill the halls of academia, they would try to tell us that all of that is the product of evolution. All of that is the product of happenstance. All of that is the product of luck. I am sorry, I don't have enough faith to believe in that kind of foolishness. I don't have enough faith to believe in that. Because you see, here's the difference between us and them. As a Christian, we accept one big miracle, God, and then everything else makes sense. An atheist denies the existence of God, and then he needs a miracle for everything else. You know what I believe in? I believe in God. And I believe that God made us, period, end of story. That is why we are wonderful. The person who created us is wonderful. The pattern by which we were created is wonderful. And so is the purpose for which we were created. David goes on to say in verse 16, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they are all written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. In other words, God, when you created me, you saw what my life would be and what my divine purpose would be in life. And all of us have a divine purpose. One translation reads this way, like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I ever lived a single day. From the moment of our conception, God is not only carefully watching us, but he is planning and preparing the way so that we can fulfill his divine purpose throughout our lifetime. That means that not a single one of us are here by accident. No birth is a mistake. Now, our parents may not have planned us, but God did. Let me give you a perfect example. After the service today, when you go out in the foyer, you are going to find a little set of twins that are 3 years old, and they are the cutest little girls I've ever seen. That's because they're my grandkids. They're number 3 and 4. They were never playing. Because you see, after my son and daughter-in-law had Poppy and Perry, the first two. They called it quits. Roger, they said, that's enough. Two is enough. So they did something about it. My daughter-in-law had a procedure called an IUD, 99.9.9%. You will not have a baby. My son said, that's not enough. I'm getting a vasectomy. So they had both things done. A year later, we ended up with twins. They may not have planned it, but let me assure you, God did. God did. The doctors are still shaking their heads. But that was God's plan. See, he not only planned them, but he laid out every detail. Their skin color, their hair color, the size of their nose, their height, everything about them. He custom built them the way that he did, just as he custom built you. You. And he left no detail to chance. Because everything fits together for a divine purpose, a purpose that was established all the way back in our mother's womb. Now let's talk about purpose for a minute. There is a general purpose for our life and a specific purpose for our life. Our specific purpose takes time to define. Most of us know that. It takes some time to define. And it can change. What we may believe to be our divine purpose at one stage may change to be something else. I know it did for me. I never had any plans whatsoever to go into ministry. It was the furthest thing from my thoughts. I wanted to go into law enforcement. But one day, God said, no. We're going to change gears. This is what I want you to do. However, there is what we would call the general purpose, the primary reason we were created, and that is not hard to define. Let me explain our general purpose, the primary purpose that each and every one of us were created, because it's the same for all of us. First and foremost, it's to have a relationship with God. Now, I want you to think about that with me this morning. God created you because he wants to walk in fellowship with you. God created you because he enjoys the time that he has with you. God created you because he wants to be with you. With you. God created you because he loves you and wants to walk in relationship with you. And the second reason that God created us is in order that we would bring him glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Now, folks, does it get any simpler than that? Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. I formed him. I made him. He is called by my name. For what reason? For God's glory. Whom I have created for my glory. And the Bible makes it clear from cover to cover that our primary purpose in life is to bring God glory. First, by developing a personal relationship with him. And then secondly, by worshiping him, declaring his greatness, accomplishing his will, and living our lives in such a way that everything that we do brings glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Here's the good news. Every single one of us are capable of bringing glory to God. Every single one of us are capable of bringing glory to God. We all have that potential in good times and in bad times to cause the one who created us to be glorified through the life that we live. What a beautiful privilege that is. And that is why, listen, that is why it is so important that we accept ourselves the way that God created us. When you know yourself, you are empowered. But when you accept yourself, you become invincible. I said, when you know yourself, you are empowered. But when you accept yourself, friend, you become invincible. Do you want to be invincible? It all begins right here by remembering these three things. The person who created you is wonderful. The pattern by which you were created is wonderful. And the purpose for which you were created is wonderful. Accept who you are. Accept how you were created. And get on with your life purpose. Because God never says oops. He never slips up. And God never makes a mistake. And Father, that can absolutely be the most freeing insight that any of us can gain. Because one of the greatest tools that the adversary has is trying to convince us that we have no self-worth. And trying to convince us that God made a mistake. And trying to convince us that even when our life is a little crumbled up, gets a little dirty, that we have no value. But nothing could be further from the truth. You created us. And each and every one of us were created for a divine purpose. Help us to accept ourselves for who we are, how we were created, and say, God, from this moment forward, I will fulfill my life purpose for which I was created. This we pray.